Amen. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. But I want to, before we start reading, let's pray first. Father, we thank you for this time that you have allotted to us, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you desire to speak today. And Lord, I just ask, Lord, that we would not allow any distractions to come upon us, Lord, that we can pay attention to your word and receive all that you want to speak to us, Lord. Lord, help me to speak forth your word, Lord, in a way that is pleasing to you. So, Lord, have your way in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Just want to read a couple of scriptures first. Don't turn there, just listen. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. 2 Corinthians 6, 16. For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So the Apostle Paul writes, and he talks about us as individuals being the, in one section of Scripture, he calls us the temple of the Holy Spirit. In the other section of Scripture, he talks about us being the temple of the living God. But what happens when our temple has been damaged? When our temple has been compromised? Or neglected? Or desecrated in some way? What happens? Because we can look at the scriptures and we can look at it in a theoretical, abstract way, and it could lead some to a state of condemnation because the scriptures are saying one thing and sounding very lofty and high, and yet because of life's circumstances, we are not there where the scriptures indicate we should be here, or for whatever reasons we know we're far from that mark. So if we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, how come I'm not walking in that holiness where God is glorified, where the Shekinah glory of God is emanating out? So I thought that we would look at a period in Israel's history when the temple of God in Jerusalem was all the above. It was damaged, neglected, and desecrated. And the steps that King Hezekiah took to restore the temple in the spirit are applicable to us today. So I find as I read the Bible, study the Bible, But more importantly, as the Holy Spirit gives me insight into the Word of God, we see how a loving, gracious God reaches out to us. So these things just are not just an abstract, but they become or start to become a reality in our lives, in those of us who are His children. So if you're on 2 Chronicles chapter 29, I want to start off just the first part of verse 1. It says, Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And once again, we're looking at King Hezekiah and the principles he used in restoring the temple. Now, the first indication of all this is his name. Hezekiah means God has strengthened or God has repaired. So that's the heart of God. Installing a king to strengthen or repair his house. And we see, of course, that is certainly in line with the King of Kings, that we are his church, we are his body, we are his temple, and he is in the process of building, rebuilding, restoring. So let's look at the steps one by one. Let's look at verse 3. First of all, verse 3 says, when 29, 2 Chronicles 29, it says, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. So the first thing that Hezekiah does is he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. I'm going to take that in several different ways. One, the doors are open. That means that you have complete access to Him. The doors are no longer closed, they're no longer barred. You have complete access to Him. And there's something about this walk that calls for a humility, that calls for a transparency. And I'm not talking about any open show of emotions, but for us to let the Lord know, to cry out to the Lord what you are feeling, the hurts that have been inflicted upon you, your pain, your distresses, how you have been dishonored, the shame that you have felt. There's something about when the Holy Spirit is really in our lives that we have this freedom to say things to the Lord that maybe we've never said to any person. And there is something that brings a release within us in our times alone with the Lord, when the Holy Spirit should lead us in that direction, to know that the doors are open. We have access to Him. You could share the deepest things, maybe things you've never told another living person, you can share to the Lord. And of course, He already knows that if you share your innermost hurts, to the poor, it will begin to bring a healing and wholeness to your soul. go to the Lord and allow Him to be involved in the healing process. Because I can tell you this, and some of you are like this, you think you have been healed because it happened long ago. But the wounds, the hurts, the shame is still there. Also, because the doors are open to the Lord, not just you coming to Him, but now let Him have complete access to you. Hebrews 4:14 through 16 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It is there at the throne that God, that you will receive mercy. He understands. And the grace, He will give you the grace and enablement to overcome your situation. So we see that with the doors open, letting you going to God, God coming to you, but there's another aspect of the doors being open, and that allow the doors to be open to others in the body as well. God will show you who you can trust. God will show you who you could have confidence in. Don't let past hurts or pains or injustices of all sorts keep loved ones out. God wants you, some in the body of Christ, to bring about the rebuilding, the restoration that is needed. Another aspect we find in verse 4 says this: He, that's Hezekiah, brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them into the square on the east. The east represents that place or point where the sun rises first. Scripture we're familiar with in Lamentations 3:22 and 23. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Know that God's mercies are new every morning. Every day, every single day, we have opportunities before the Lord. So today can be a new day, a new season in your life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And in the Phillips translation, it says it this way: for if a man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new. These are wonderful things, wonderful promises and blessings of the Lord. Another few points 2 points in verse 5. This is Hezekiah once again. Then he said to them, "Listen to me, O Levites, consecrate yourselves now, and consecrate the house of the Lord, the God of your fathers, and carry the uncleanness out from the holy place." Now, when Hezekiah says to the priests, "Listen," he's saying this: give earnest heed to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And for us, the same thing. Give earnest heed to what the Holy Spirit is saying through His Word to the church. And we all know this. When we are obedient to the Lord, even in that, it brings a lightness to us compared to, you know, when you're not doing right in the Lord. You don't feel good. You don't feel good spiritually. You don't feel good about yourself. And it allows room for the enemy to come in and speak much condemnation to us. And then the word consecrate or sanctify. And it means two things: to make holy and separate yourself. So there's a process where Hezekiah is saying, make yourself holy. Now, it's not that we have the ability to make ourselves holy, but only as we are in Christ. And once again, tying into listening, being obedient, we come into that place of holiness. We start to move towards the Lord. We're separating ourselves from the things that would corrupt us, the things that would defile us. And Hezekiah says this: carry the uncleanness out from the holy place. Carry whatever uncleanness there is. You know, there's some things that God is going to do, but there's some things we've got to do. It's not like we just sit back and wait for God to do everything. What would be His purpose of grace? If His grace is part of it, is to enable us to do certain things, we need to move in faith. Amen. Believing that God will enable you to carry out the uncleanness. If you are a bump on a log, 20 years from now, you'll still be the same bump on the same log. The scriptures admonish us, you carry the uncleanness out of the holy place. You carry it. And there's a responsibility. And we know that the Lord is going to help you. That's part of the beauty of the Lord. That burden may be too heavy for us, but it's not too heavy for the Lord. So there's an act, there's a part of this that calls for, or if I can say it this way, that demands our involvement. Verse 11. My sons, do not be negligent now. Right? Do not be negligent. Listen. Let's stop justifying where we're at and why we are like this and all the excuses we could give. Because it really dishonors the Lord when we say those things. We're saying His grace is not sufficient. We're saying the cross did not do enough. And as we know, that is not true. Don't neglect. Don't be slothful. God brings these messages to us not to entertain us, not that we would spiritually look at these things and say, wow, this is great, I never saw this before. He brings it out of His love and compassion to us so that we would act on these truths. Yes. So that we would incorporate them into our lives. So we could be the temple that God has ordained us to be. Where the Shekinah glory of God is in us and shines through us. So He says, my sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before Him, to minister to Him, and to be His ministers and burn incense. You know what? The Lord has chosen you. Don't fall under the lie of, well, who am I? You know, I don't know, where the enemy would have you think that you have not been called to this. God has chosen you. It was not man's intention. It was not a good friend of yours. It's not just somebody that had mercy on you. But it's God that has chosen you for all of this. Why should we settle for anything less than not just God's best? Why should we settle for anything less that demeans the cross in any way? Of the sacrifice, what Jesus did on that cross. Why should we lessen it to any degree? To be His ministers and burn incense. In other words, that in our ministry to Him, in our ministry to one another, we become a sweet aroma to God and to one another. That's what God has for us. Verse 16. So the priests, I love this. So the priests went in to the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. And every unclean thing which they found in the temple of the Lord, they brought it out to the court of the house of the Lord. Then the Levites received it to carry out to Kidron Valley. So number one, we see working together. It's just not one man doing it. It's a team of God's people working together to cleanse the temple. Listen, we all need people in our lives. Amen. We need the Lord. But we need the body of Christ as well. Amen. If you refuse to make yourself vulnerable, what you are saying and what you are showing is, I am prideful and I could do it all myself and I don't need you. No, thank you. But when you say no, thank you, you're closing the door on the Lord. Amen. That's what you're doing. Amen. And it's nothing but pride and arrogance. Amen. So, go to the inner parts of your house. And whatever unclean thing that is there or is revealed to you, whatever unclean thing is revealed to you, bring it. And if you need help, because it's too heavy, call somebody to help you out. Yes. And bring it to the Kidron Valley. Now the word valley is really what's called a wadi, W-A-D-I. And what they are channels cut in the desert floor. And for most of the time, they're dry. But after heavy rains, after spring rains, these wadis experience great surges of rainwater, flash flooding, and everything in its path is washed away. So the picture is, you're going to bring it to this wadi, and it's going to be the living waters. It's going to be the waters from the throne of God that are going to come through and cleanse and bring and move away, wash away anything that you place in there. It's your choice. Whatever you place in there is going to be washed away, never to be seen again. And that's why it's called Kidron, because Kidron means darkness. In other words, you can't see in the dark. It's a place God makes available to you to discard everything that is unclean. So it could be washed away, and you're never going to see it again. It's never going to revisit you again. That's why the Kidron Valley. And the results. Let's look at the results of this. Let's look at verses 25. He, that's Hezekiah. Right? Hezekiah, the Lord restores. He then stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with harps, with lyres, according to the command of David and of Gad, the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet. So here we see the fullness. In other words, it's saying the fullness of what God is saying, or what God wants to happen. From the Lord through the prophets, verse 26, the Levites stood with musical instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah gave the order to offer the burnt offering on the altar. When the burnt offering began, the song to the Lord also began with the trumpets, accompanied by the instruments of David, king of Israel. While the whole assembly worshipped, the singers also sang, the trumpets sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was completed. What a picture! The burnt offering. The burnt offering is the offering that it was put on the altar, and everything was consumed by the Lord. Nothing was left over. It was completely consumed by God. There was nothing left when they were finished with the burnt offering except ashes. An unrecognizable result of the consuming fire of God. Now, when I say consuming fire, I'm not talking about judgment here. Everything. Let's place everything on the altar so nothing remains. Give it all to God. And once that is dealt with, brothers and sisters, once the sin, the shame washed away, dealt with, then you can truly enter into that worship that God has designed in His church. That we could worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Because there's nothing to hold us back. We've been made free. We are cleansed. Verse 36. Then Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced over what God had prepared for the people, because the thing came about suddenly. The New Living Translation says it this way, for everything had been accomplished so quickly. I want to tell you, when you do what God wants you to do, I mean, no holding back, complete surrender, although it could hurt, although it's not easy to do, but when you do it, you will be amazed how quickly your liberation comes, how quickly you come into the newness, the full, whole newness that God has for you. So Hezekiah, the priest, and all the people rejoiced in what God did in their hearts in such a short period of time. And this could be your testimony as well. Chapter 30, 1 and 2. Now Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover to the Lord God of Israel. For the king and his princes and all the assembly in Jerusalem had decided to celebrate the Passover in the second month. It's interesting, not the first month, but the second month. Second month. Second chance. Second chance. God gives us chances time and time again. Don't think if you're hearing this message, well, it's beyond me. It's beyond me. I have just blown it too many times. I have neglected this so many times. Nope. It's still a value available to you. They celebrated the Passover. What does it mean to us? We celebrate the Passover Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. We celebrate the Passover Lamb who died on the cross for you and me so that we could have this new beginning in a place where Israel at the time had fallen to such a low level, it's hard to conceive that the doors of the house of the Lord were closed and barred. How much deeper can you sink to? There was not even a recognition of the temple of the living God. And in the midst of this unholiness, of this worldliness, of this low estate that they were in, God raised a man, a king like Hezekiah, and brought great restoration and rebuilding into not only the temple, but to Israel itself and each individual member of that nation. And do not we have a king greater than Hezekiah? Able to strengthen, able to rebuild, greater than any Hezekiah could. Hezekiah ruled for 29 years. We have a king that rules forever. And his purpose does not change. Even greater than Hezekiah is in our midst. In chapter 30, verse 26. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, because there was nothing like this in Jerusalem since the days of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. It was the glory days of Israel. There was nothing like this since then. That's the only thing they can know. And there was such, imagine the joy, the absolute joy that was upon Israel at that time. It's for us as well. These are principles of the Lord. Should not we be a people of great joy because our deliverance is greater, or the covenant is greater? Everything is greater. Chapter 31. Let's look at verse 1. Now when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah. Right, it's spreading out from Jerusalem now. Broke down the pillars in pieces, cut down the Asherim, pulled down the high places and the altars throughout all Judah and Benjamin, as well as Ephraim and Manasseh, until they had destroyed them all. Then all the sons of Israel returned to the cities, each to his possession, each to what God has ordained for them. God has ordained for you certain things to possess. Dreams, hopes, joy, freedom for you to possess that you know not of. But it is there. It is there. Verse 2, and Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and the Levites by their divisions, each according to his service, both the priests and the Levites for burnt offerings and for peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the camp of the Lord. No longer an outsider. No longer on the outside looking in, but a reality of giving thanks, praising, worshiping, participating, praising God in the gates or within the gates of the camp of the Lord. That's what I want to be. I want to be solidly within the camp of the Lord. That's who I want to be. Nothing else will satisfy as knowing that you are within the camp of the Lord. And look at the end testimony of Hezekiah. We're still chapter 31, verse 20. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah. This should be for us. And he did what was good, right, and true before the Lord his God. It's not a matter of he did it because of judgment. He didn't do it because he had to do it. Freedom allows you to do this. Freedom allows you, when you are unshackled. We are not a people who have been called into slavery. We are a people that have been called out of bondage. Amen. And if there's any vestiges of any bondage in your life, you cannot accomplish all that is good, all that is right, all that is true before the Lord. But God has delivered you so that you can accomplish all that is good, all that is right, all that is true before the Lord his God, before the Lord our God. Yeah. A walking witness and testimony. And last verse, verse 21. Every work which he began in the service of the house of God, and everything that he started, everything that was truly inspired by the Holy Spirit, every time he moved in this freedom, whatever he did, in law and in commandment, seeking his God, he did with all his heart and prospered. All that he did, he sought the God of Israel. What would happen? How would our lives be revolutionized if everything that we did, we sought the God of Israel? How would we prosper? And I mean that not just financially, because there are people around the world that are not prospering financially, but they are certainly prospering in the Lord. Amen. And it is evident.
Amen.
If we committed ourselves like this, how would we prosper? How much more can we be a blessing to others? How much more can we testify? There are a lot, there is tons of religious activity out there. And to me, a lot of it is just like when Moses was coming down the mountain and there was singing in the camp. A lot of noise, a lot of dancing, a lot of shouts, but it was a golden calf. It was the wrong God. But how much more? Amen. And I do believe this. I do believe that this is a season for those of us here who their temple is in disrepair. There has been injury to your temple. There are things within the inner heart of your temple that need a cleansing. This is a word for you and for all of us. Let the God who is greater than Hezekiah help you to come into that place of cleansing, making holy, restoring, and rebuilding your temple. Why struggle? Why stay in that place of struggle where you do well for a period of time and then you sink? And your spiritual life is one roller coaster of ups and downs. That is not what the Lord has ordained. He has a way. He's making a way for us. Let's avail ourselves, because his ways are greater than our ways. Let's follow. Let's receive these teachings. Let's receive these principles so our temple can hold the glory that God wants to, that God wants to place within us, that people will see, that people will see the glory of God. They'll see that Shekinah glory of God, and God wants to pour into you greater than you ever thought was possible. This is what God has for his church. Once again, Hezekiah, God has strengthened, God has repaired, and Hezekiah could do what he did because God had strengthened him and God repaired him. So while in one sense, Hezekiah represents the Lord, in another sense, Hezekiah represents us. What God is able to do in us, by his grace, we're able to accomplish in others. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for your principles, Lord. We thank you for the truths that are in your word, Lord God. Lord, you know us. You know the things that are hidden within the inner parts of our temple that need a cleansing. Lord, there's no formula for this, but we stand on your truth. And we stand on this, Lord, that you are able, Lord God. Lord, what you have shown, what is in your word, your principles, Lord God. Lord, you are able to perform it, Lord God. So, Lord, we just come before you today. And in a spirit of absolute honesty, Lord, we ask, Lord. Lord, what you know, what we know, and what you know that is within us that need to be carried out. The areas in our life that we know, Lord God, need to be rebuilt or repaired. We are asking, Lord, to come into our lives and start the repair process. Start the rebuilding process. And Lord, for those, because this applies to all of us, yes, we have you, we're thankful to you, but Lord, you have designed it that there needs to be others involved. Lord, if there's anything of pride within us, if there's anything of even a false humility within us, Lord, I pray you would deal with the hearts. Lord, and you would show us what brother or what brothers or what sister or what sisters I need to cleanse and rebuild my temple. And Lord, let us remember this. That, Lord, it says in your word that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, your desire is to dwell in us and that you would be our God and we would be your people. Lord, I thank you that your word lets us know that we are not our own, that we have been bought with a price. So, Lord, let us recognize, Lord, to humble ourselves like this, this is a death experience. This is part of the cross working on in our lives that wants to crucify our flesh, wants to crucify our prides, our egos, Lord God. But, Lord, let us see, Lord God, that you, Lord, want to use this for your glory. Lord, you want a temple. You want a temple, Lord God, that is not made with human hands, Lord God. So, Lord, let us just be in that place to say, Lord, here I am. Do what you need to do. Lord, help me to be obedient. Help me to hearken as to what you are saying. And, Lord, help me to be open to you. Lord, I thank you. The doors are open, Lord God. They're no longer shut. They're no longer barred. The doors are open. And Lord, now it's up to us how much we are going to let you in. Lord, it's up to us what we will allow you to accomplish. Lord, may we yield to you completely and not be satisfied until not only the outside of the temple, but the inside of the temple is completed the way you want it completed. Lord, I think of with Moses, I think of with David. Lord, it was the pattern that you gave them. Lord, let us be built in the pattern that you have for each of us. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. Lord, may we allow you to do what is the absolute best, Lord. Lord, it may hurt for a season, but the end result will be glorious. We thank you, Father, for this word today. Lord, we thank you that it's your heart going forth. Lord, help us to heed what you are saying. In Jesus' name, amen.